Of the Perichav Gimel, Per Pasuk of Gimel. Rabbi Yisai, Perichav Gimel, Perichav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel. B'nai Bavel, so here we continue describing the lust that the B'nai Yehuda had for all of their neighbors for Kastim. And also going back to B'nai Mitzrayim, that was really yesterday, that when they did the Avera with B'nai, they worshipped the idols of the Kastim, they remembered the idols of Egypt. Back 480 years ago, they remembered what they did in Egypt, and they wanted to repeat those sins again. So here we're going back to the current time over here. B'nai Bavel v'chol Kastim. So here, the people of Yehuda, they're viewing the B'nai Bavel, they sing them in front of them, v'chol kastim, pikod, v'shoah, v'koah. These simply are three different cities, three different states, three different sections of Egypt. It's not clear. I don't know if we know b'zman hazeh what these three things are, but these three things, these are three different, again, either cities, states, or regions of Egypt. Kol B'nai Ashur Oysam. All of the B'nai Ashur together with them, Bachuri Chemed, each one was a young man in his strength, in his prime, that was delightful. Pachleis, governors, Usigonim, different names of different leaders. Kulam, all of them, Shah Kulam, Shalishim, all of them were officers. Vishalishim, the word Vishalishim al Kulam, Ukruim, they were distinguished people. Rochvei Susim, people who rode on horses, Kulam, every single one of them. So this pasuk describing the two nations, Bavel, really three nations. Bavel, Kastim, together with B'nai Ashur, describing the countries, describing their description. They were leaders, and they were warriors, and they were Kiruim, means distinguished people who rode on horses. Let's see this in much more detail in the Mefarshim, in the Mesudas Pasuk of Gimel. Mitzudos Pasuk of Gibel says, B'nei Bavel, Achshav Yifaresh Mihem Bohaboim. Now we are going to describe who is going to attack. According to the Mitzudos, we're describing now the Churban of Nebuchadnezzar, who is going to attack. So they are going to be, I guess, legions, different armies from these different nations. Oysom Yovo Imohem. Here it tells us that when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Yerushalayim, he hired mercenaries. From which nation? From Ashur. Ashur at this point was not a very significant nation, it seems. It seems Ashur was decimated with the death of Sanherib about 100 years ago, yet there were still enough people there in the land of Ashur that were worthwhile for Nebuchadnezzar to hire their best soldiers to come and attack. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk of Gimel says, Pekod v'shua v'koah, Tirgim Yonason, Shem Medinois. These are three different Medinois, three different states within Egypt. They're all going to come. B'nai Bavel v'chol chastim, Pekod v'shov v'koach. Again, these are three different parts of Egypt. U'mikra misayoi b'sefer Yirmiya al aretz mirosayim alei. On the rebellious land, there the pasuk in Yirmiya says that you shall ascend alei alecha, the el yoshrei Pekod, and on the people of Pekod. So if we see over here in this pasuk in Yirmiya, when it's describing Egypt, that pasuk is describing the chum that's going to come to Egypt. And it says there that the enemy, the Nebuchadnezzar, will come and will destroy Egypt, and it describes Egypt as the land of Pekod. Period. Now, again, like I told you, I don't know. Obviously, it's not so clear if there really was where exactly in Egypt was this city called Pekod. Maybe, and people who are very experts in ancient Egypt and know about these things, maybe they can give you more clarity. But he goes on to say, Rashi also seems to be a bit skeptical about these different cities. We never heard of them, these different cities. And therefore he quotes, V'ha poisrim oysam l'shoin pekidim v'sodim v'shil toinim. There are those that translate these three words not as the name of a city, but they're three different terms, like a captain, a colonel, a private. Private is not too significant, but a lieutenant. I'm not sure exactly with all hierarchy in the government and in the military, but obviously there are different madrigals in the military, and these terms, the code, which can mean to appoint, it means an officer, the shoa, the koa, can refer to different generals, different appointments different stations and levels of authority one has in the military. In ukiruim, okay, this means distinguished people. There's nothing more than that here in Rashi. Michal has just came in now, and he'll have to give us tell us what it means. Ukiruim pasuk of gimel, the last words of pasuk of gimel. You'll tell us in a few moments what that French word means. Let's see the radak. Radak pasuk of gimel says bnei bavel v'chol kastim mishar medinas bavel. So these are from Bavel, Pekod, Veshua, Vekoa, Shemus, Torah, Lasarim, Haniskolim, Shem, Besefer, Yirmia, Nevu, Zar, Adan, Nevu, Shazbon, and Shar, Etzer, Rav, Mog, Ushaor, Haniskolim, Shom. So here the Radak, he says exactly what it says to Rashi, what Rashi said. They're referring to titles, to different levels of authority in the government, in the army. And indeed, in Yirmiyah, we have there a list of the people. We have their actual names. Now, we know Nebuzaradan, he was the chief executioner, the chief. And then Nebuzaradan, he, I guess, was his lieutenant. He was his secondary. And then Shar Etzer, and then it was Rav Mog. Those people, they corresponded to these different positions in the army of the Babylonians, yeah? And we call Kiruim?
Yeah, you were looking
for the word. Kiruim. Kiruim. Impossible. Chav Gimel.
Samoth. In old French. Summit, meaning the top people.
The top people. Okay. Let's now see next words is Radak. Radak Pekod. What's Pekod? Kimot Paul. Kiruim. Officer Vichal Vichim. Shoah Shem Linodiv Godol. It's the name of a dignitary. The chain koa shame Torah l'sar gadol. The alfi shlon matzun lechaver b'mikra. We don't have any equivalent. This is unique. These different terms to describe positions of authority. From the context, it's understood that's what we are referring to. However, he now acknowledges that Yonasan ben Azil, the Targum, disagrees. Yonasan loytirgem means loytirgem beinyan acher el omar. Okay, he sings. I'm not sure. Pekodoe v'sho'oe v'koroe. This Targum Yonasan, he doesn't give a translation. He does not give. But what Rashi, what's interesting is Rashi did say we have a difference. Exactly, what is the Targum? Our Targum in our edition, it says like what Radak says. Pekodoe v'sho'oe v'koroe. Rashi though, impossible. So the Targum Yonasan is not telling us what they are. He's being purposely vague. Maybe whatever he's not telling us what they are. Rashi though says, Rashi quotes these three as Targum Yonasan Shem Medinois. So Rashi's understanding of the Targum is that indeed these are places, these are cities, these are medinois. The Radak doesn't see it like that way. Radak says just because Rashi says the Targum says pikodoe vishoe vikoe doesn't necessarily mean that the Targum is giving us a list of cities. It can very well be that the Targum is giving us terms, titles of people in a position of authority. Okay, so I think this is very unique because usually
conflict could be like lord of
the city of that particular city.
Lord of that.
Okay, but I just want to point out that this is very unique. You very rarely, very very rarely in Tanakh, you have a situation where the Targum says something, and you have the major mefarshim on the page disagreeing what the Targum meant to say, because the Targum normally is clear as day. Targum takes a side.
That's its function.
That's my function. I'm giving you a translation. This is the word in Hebrew, and here is the word in Aramaic, and there's only one meaning. I'm taking sides. This is the interpretation. And here the Targum says something, and yet we have a machloikis Rashi and the Radak, what the Targum really means. Rashi says Targum means medinois, cities. Targum first goes on and gives a long explanation and refers to different titles of people of authority, and then he goes, and the Targum doesn't disagree with me. Because the Targum just says Targum Yonasan Lo Targum Binyan Acher. Targum doesn't disagree. So this is a very nice thing to keep in mind. A unique, if you're ever on Jeopardy and they ask you where you have such a situation, now you know where to. unique.
I don't think they'll ask
the Bible contest.
Why not?
They won't ask the Rani. Okay.
It could be in Chidon
Tanakh. They won't ask the Steve in the Chidon Tanakh. But this, it's still a very interesting occurrence. What? I made a joke. I said, if they'll ever ask you in Jeopardy, where do you have such a situation where you have Machlekes Rishonim, what the Targum means? Here is a good example. So he said they'll never ask on Jeopardy. So I said, we change it to the Chidon HaTanach.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll
have to. As I told you, that's not the type of question they'll ask either.
My brother doesn't have to know the Targum.
Okay, let's go to the next. B'nei Ashur Oysam Perish Bohu Oysam. Oysam Kemo Itam. Osam here is equivalent to with them. V'chein adaber osach kamo itach. Another example. V'chein v'gam heitev v'heitev v'ein osam ulay Hashem. Osik different examples of the word. This word it means with them. V'hadaynim lohem. So the pasuk means that together with the Babylonians, the Bnei Ashur arrived. Obviously, they were a hired hand to inflict harm. Ukiruim kamo kiruei hoeda. This means the people, the distinguished people, the upper echelons of the hierarchy, they are people who are invited. You get an invitation by invitation only. When there is a board meeting, the kiruei hoed, those who are called among the assembly.
The elite.
You have to be invited to attend. You don't just show up on your own. V'tirgim yonason zininin, which means people who have been designated. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk chaf dalet. So here we have another good vocabulary word. We have a lot of good vocabulary words over here. Uvoho lechotzen. That's a really good word. Okay, when the Babylonians and the Bnei Ashur arrive, they're going to arrive in the image of chotzen. What does that mean? Rashi has a long elaboration on the precise meaning of this word, which includes rechev, chariots, v'galgal. What is galgal relative to a rechev? Motorcycles? Rechev are chariots. Galgal are wheels. Unicycles? Wheels. They come on wheels. Whatever that means. Or maybe wagons, I guess. Wagons. Uvikahal amim. And with an assembly of nations. Meaning it's not only going to be Bava. Bava is going to bring an alliance. It's going to be a coalition. They're going to all come together. This pasuk is prophetic. He obvious, whatever it says in Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu, it's referring to today. I mean, there are many layers of prophecy. And if we're reading it today, obviously it's telling us over here what's going on over here. Today, a lot of these things, like we said, we learned many, many times, have much, much more meaning today. They become much more colorful in light of technology and the complexity of the world. And some like, so what does it mean exactly? Rechev, hoitzen, what does that word mean? Maybe that's a word that was only meant for our generation. With rechev, cyber attacks. Rechev, chariots, galgal, different types of wheels, v'kahal amim, tzina, shields, umogain, okay, different types, and tzina, different types of, what's the difference? One of the things, one is a small one, shelters your whole body, one only is in front of you, v'kaiva, helmets, yasimu, olayich, saviv, they will set against you on all sides. This simply means the kaiva was used, these are offensive weapons. So we don't appreciate it. We think that a mogin is just, you know, defense. It's not so. If you ever see some of these documentaries on ancient warfare, they attacked with the sword. They would march in formation, and the shields interlocked one with another, and they march forward, and they brought destruction with the actual mogin and the tzina. Likewise, the koiva, the helmet. It wasn't just defense for defense. It was, they would go and they would bang with their heads. They would bang with their heads, and the impact of the helmet would cause enormous harm. So these are offensive weapons. Yosimo lach saviv, v'nosati l'fneim b'shpat. I will give them. Now here's a very, 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 very powerful pasuk. Yosimo farshim, Hashem says, I will give them the authority to exercise mishpat. V'nosati lifneihem, I will give before them mishpat. They will have within their power to exercise mishpat against the Jewish people for their sins. Ushifatuch, and they will judge you b'mishpateihem according to their laws. Being that you abandon me, Hashem says, so you're not going to be judged according to Jewish law, which is just and which is divine and which is fair. And it's mole rachamim. When they're going to punish you, they're going to punish you according to their laws. and their laws are not fair. They're corrupt. They're ridiculous. The things that the goyim do for judgment are totally off the charts. I mean, in America, I mean, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's a great Baruch Hashem in America. But this whole idea that a person God has a jury of his peers is just bizarre. It's just bizarre as can possibly be, because asara shukudim in ashok. A person is, you have a shayla of dinei nefashos. Am I chayiv misa, death row? Who's going to paskin the shayla? I'm going to death row. You take 12 people. 12 people off the street. 12
very,
by random.
Very inefficient.
What?
Very inefficient. You have to train the jurors.
You have to right, it's very inefficient. But even with all the efficiency, let's say, fine, you with all the efficiency, who are they? What, they're qualified to decide if a person should live or die? Why are they qualified? So maybe you'll get lucky. You'll get someone that's a chacham. But I mean, come on.
Why is a judge politically appointed or qualified?
Well, a judge goes. He works. He goes through the system. You know, you go. You got to go to a good elementary school to get into a good high school, to get into a good college, and then you got to go to a good law school, and you got to pass the bar, and you got to have a lot of skill and practice, and be promoted multiple times. I mean, you got to work with something. A judge. Okay, there are corrupt judges, we all know that, and there are people who get, but at least there's a system. There's a system in place. You don't become a Supreme Court justice over
for doing. The jury doesn't determine the law, they just determine the facts.
It depends on the case. There are many different there are many different types of juries in the country.
But then again,
what?
Who should be the jury? Only the upper classes?
No, a judge. In the Torah law, it's an experiment. In Torah law, democracy, Baruch Hashem, is doing good. But it's only 200 years. You know, 200 years, 225, 200 almost 50 years.
Well, England also had.
It's not even a paragraph, you know, in history book. Okay, 250. So you have yet to see where this is going to go. Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, we're okay. But the Torah, this concept of a jury of your peers is rochuk from Das Torah, minizruch l'mayrach. And it's frightening. It's really frightening. And
not by the pushes, but the best is, could also take 3 people in Ashur, perform the best.
Well, depends for what. That's not a lechatchila. Depends for what. I mean, right, yeah, I mean, today, you know, in our arbitrations, being that Bizman Azeh, we don't have din, everything is anyway dispute resolution. You're right. Like, you know, my father was in the RCA. My father did a lot of piskei halacha with the RCA. So many times they took dayanim that didn't have smicha. The mamash don't have smicha. This is the RCA, you know, Rabbinical Council of America, and they're paskening big settlements in million-dollar cases. And people that are on the bench, then they don't have smicha. Happen to be there, you know, they're clever, wise people. They're talmidei chachamim, and the balei dinim accepted them to be part, because why? They're anyway not paskening halacha mamish. They're doing really what they do in the goyim, dispute resolution. Great dispute resolution, trying to make some type of arrangement to work out. They don't want to say the word compromise. That's it's a dirty word to say compromise. But okay, so you're right. Okay, so that's also like a jury of your peers to something, but that's not ideal. That's not the idea. Even they'll admit you. This is the best that we have. You know, we need someone that really understands the workings of what's going on with these very complicated cases and business ethics and all these very, you know. So you need someone who really is in the scene. But here it says over here, Farshman of Nasati Lefem Mishpat. I'm going to give. This is what it says over there. Klal Yisrael in Galus. This is a very big klala. In Galus, we are given over the mishpat that really belongs in the Lishkas Hagazis. And through a system, which is a system of Torah, is batel. Memeilu, who's going to exercise mishpat? The goyim. They're going to be the ones who are going to make decisions for us. And when they make the decisions, it's not going to be according to the Jewish law, which is divine law. It's going to be ushifatuch b'mishpitehem. They're going to judge us according to their laws, their system of mishpat, which is not to our benefit, and this is a punishment that the pasuk here is telling us is going to happen at the time of Churban. So let's see this in much more detail in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Dalet Hoitzen. Now, first we have to go into a long discussion. What does it mean over here when it says that they're going to come against us with Hoitzen? What's Hoitzen? So in the Mitzudos David, it says, let's look at the Mitzudos Sion first. Mitzvah Sion says, Holitz and Tigim Yonasan Bimone Ziyona. It's the collective noun, the collective term for weaponry. Weapons, they're going to come against Klal Yisrael with all of their weapons, like a parade. They'll take out their tanks and their missiles and their army and, you know, all the different divisions of the military, and they're gonna march. They're gonna show what they got. Hotzen is the parade, the military parade where you show off everything that you got. What?
The array
of weapons. It's one word which captures a catch-all. Back to the Mitzvot David. And then the pasuk goes on to describe in detail. You got the tanks, and you got helicopters, and you got motorcycles, and v'chulu, and it says here the rechev v'galgal, the rechev v'galgal him oifani harechev,
the wheels of the chariot.
So he's learning that it's really one term. Rechev v'galgal, the wheels of the chariot. Yosimu alayich, ritzon alaymar, kol eile yosimu al atzmam lavoy alach misviv. They'll go and they'll direct to you to come attack you. Next words in the Vinosati. Okay, next words in the Mitzudos. Vinosati emsar biyodam hamishpat. Now here's the very scary pasuk, part of the hand of the pasuk. I will allow them. I will give them authority to exercise mishpat. Vehem yishpitu oisach b'mishpatehem sheyasu bach ki ilu hem shluchim lasos mishpat. It is as if Hashem is making them His agent. They are being Hashem's agent to punish us and to exercise justice for our sins. Okay, Rashi pasuk Chavdal goes into very great detail what it means. Hotzen, Perish, Dunash. We have Dunash, Menachem, Unkelis, Rashi. Right, we have all the different Pashtonim, those who give us translations of the words. So he starts with Dunash, the grammarians. So we start with Dunash, one of Rashi's favorites. Perash Dunash, Echad Miklei HaMulcham Ulchu, it's a certain type of weapon. It's not the array of weapons. What it is, we don't know. Maybe I'll find a dictionary or something that'll tell you exactly what this weapon is. It's a certain type of weapon that has been lost from us. Rashi, Vani Oimer, I say, it doesn't mean that it means Lash L'shoin HaKofas Machanes. Chaitse means, it means a group, a siege, right? It means a siege of Machanes, camps, army, legions. They're going to come attack a collection. They're going to surround. HaKofa is a siege of the Machanes of Ulu of the army. Kamo, where do we find an example? In the Chumash. If you don't wipe out the enemy, Hashem says, the Canaanim, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, see something that we failed in doing. In the time of Yoshua, Hashem says, don't have rachmanis upon the Canaanim. I know it doesn't seem right in your eyes, innocent women and children, and all these people, what do? Agag, remember, Shaul and Agag. Hashem says, I'm telling you now, you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, it is my desire, it is my will that you completely wipe the place clean. Don't leave over anyone. Because if you don't listen to me, you're going to see that in the future generations, they're going to be litzninim b'tzideichem. Now, we commonly translate this to mean thorns. They're going to be thorns in your side, which we all know today is so true. Okay, and Klal Yisrael indeed failed. They did not thoroughly cleanse the land of its inhabitants. They left over lots. And that's why we have this psalm. But yet, look what Unkelus translates this differently. He translates this, Ulemashirion means, it means thorn, right? Is that how you translate it? It means thorn. And the word, wait, how does it translate? Mak von choin. Mekaf nechoin, surrounding you. So, Ramachol, how do you translate? How does it translate that? Both of them together. What does it say there in the translation? Ulamashirion mekaf nechoin. Now, the problem is, this is what.
What is that translation? Which words is that
Ulitzninim. The words Ulitzninim bitzidechem is translated in Chumash by Unkelus as Ulamashirion mekaf nechoin. Yeah, camps will surround you?
Camps in your sides. Instead of thorns, he translates...
Camps. Okay, in a chanami.
The camps will be like thorns to you.
So the entire Ungeliz is telling us that the word litzninim is not as we have been brainwashed to mean thorns. Right. It means a mashara, means a camp. And the word litzninim, the shoresh is tzadi nun. Okay, the vav nulamid is the prefix, and the yud nun is, and the mem is a repetition with the plural. It's just emphasis and plural. So the ikar shoresh is tzadi nun. And look at our word hotzen. Hotzen, the hay seemingly is not the ikar. The hay is just a padding. The tiferes haloshen, and the shoresh of the word is tzadi nun, which is the same shoresh as litzninim, tzininim. And since Ungulus translates it to mean camps, is that if you're not going to wipe out the Canaanim, ultimately they're going to be groups of people that are going to surround you and cause for you trouble, like we see today. We're surrounded by enemies. So we see here a unique translation of what it means, camps. Camps are going to come up, armies are going to attack Yerushalayim. This is Rashi's preferred interpretation. Okay, so we learned something over here very unique, very new, about Litzninim Bitzideichem, and we see over here a very unique parallel to what it says in Yecheskel, a good vocabulary word. So when I review, sometimes, very rarely, if I have a few minutes, I try to review what we learned, sit down and go through some of the parakim, and I always like to pick up, I just like to play a game, always doing this for a long time, vocabulary words. What are the new words, like the new vocabulary words you can, like you go every like 3-4 psukim, it hits you. This is a unique word. This word is not something that you have very common in Tanakh, and like you make a list. Okay, like other words are all the same, just a matter of interpretation, a matter of form. But here is a really great word which is unique, and that's hotzen. Now we come to interpretation number 3, Menachem Pershoi. Kimo tsina visochera amito. So tsina, which means, tsina means a shield. How does it translate?
An encompassing shield.
And what does it mean, amito? An encompassing, how does it translate all three words together? It's all it says? An encompassing shield?
So you have visochera, an encompassing shield.
And what's amito? Is his truth, is his strength an encompassing...
Yeah, his truth is an encompassing shield.
His truth is MS.
Oh, no, MS.
MS is in his encompassing. So Sechera means to encompass. Lashlov, Sechor means to go in circles. Sechor means to go in circles.
And Sina
goes around. The Socher to go around. And Sina means a shield. So the MS of Hashem is found in the metaphor that Hashem completely surrounds you. Alright, so in any event, so therefore we have a new interpretation, and it means that Sina, Tzadi Nun, is the word a shield. Now, that what's the problem with that interpretation? Because in the next end of the pasuk it says explicitly tsina umogain. So you have to say there are different types of shields, right? There is the Iron Dome is also a shield, right? It's also there the Patriot missiles, the arrow. There are different types of shields. There are different types of shields. There are physical shields. There are other types of shields. So here we have many words for a shield. The Ein Dunash Moideloi. Dunash, who told us that it means Echam, Mekle HaMelchama, even though he said it reversed to a specific type of weapon, Dunash, do not confuse Dunash with Menachem. Menachem says it means a shield. Dunash just says a weapon. It's a different type of weapon according to Dunash. Period. Now we come to interpretation number 4. The Atargum Shetirgim V'Yeison Alach. They will come against you. Bimone Ziyona. So he learns, and we learned according to the Mitzvahs, it means it's a collective term. It's a collective term, which means it will come against you with all the, like you said, the array of weapons. Now that's not exactly what Dunash. Dunash said there was one specific type of weapon. The Mitzvahs stuff explicitly said that it does not mean a specific weapon. It means an array of weapons. Maybe here we have another example. We have a machlokes here between and the mefarshim. What exactly the targum means? But Dunash, Rashi is telling us that targum mesela Dunash. He's saying that the targum and Dunash are saying the same thing. That's not what Dunash said. No. Dunash said it means a specific weapon. The Targum, the way the Mitsudos explain the Targum, means an array of weapons. It's not one weapon, it's many weapons. So you see there's a little nuance, a little slight nuance, the difference between understanding what it means. Hotsen kamo bihotsen, according to this, hotsen means bihotsen, they're going to come against you with hotsen, you're missing a letter. They're going to come against you bihotsen with this weapon. The yesh mashma hotsen, then we come to interpretation number 5. And this is Rashi. He's not, and he's saying, not telling us where he gets from. Kamo chotzen. Chotzen means strength, power. Chotzen. Min vehiviu vonayich. I will bring your children bechotzen with strength. Shepirushoi zeroya strength. Vechenu vo olay chotzen vinyonai chayil strength. Kamo uzeroos hanegev. The strength of the south, Shepirushoi v'chayloi sanegev, the strength of the south. So Tzachako we have over here, it's a really great Rashi, because Rashi brings together all of the commentaries. Himself, Targum, Menachem, and Dunash, and even for icing on the cake, he throws in someone else who is anonymous. He's the anonymous commentator. You get 5. This is a really great Rashi, the full array of translators. And the Rashi above, you know, the Rashi above before, you know, on this page, he goes Veha Poisrim. He quotes, he tells us that when it came to those 3 places, Bekod, Veshah, Bekoah, they're cities. And then Veha Poisrim. There's another category called the Poisrim, the translators. Artscroll, Judaica Press, right? Encino, the translators. So you have over here on this page the full array of people who like to translate the words. Menachem, Dunash, Rashi himself, Unkelis. Then above we had Targum Yoinesam. We could Targum here. He's going from Unkelis and Chumash. And then there's Targum Yoinesam and Uziel, the Poisrim. And then there is Viyesh. There are those, they don't get the Madrega. They're called the Poiser. They're just the Yesh. Yesh, there are people also out there who also like to add some interpretation. Okay, so we have over here 5 translations for this word Hotsen. Now we go back to the next words of Rashi. V'nasati lifnei mishpat mash olai lishpoit ese oisam. This I should judge them, I will allow them to do it. V'shaluchai lasos ha-mishpat. That's an insult to us. You know, it's an insult that when you come to the judge, you know, they give you over, you go to a doctor. You don't want to go see the resident. You don't want to go see the intern. You want to see the doctor, right? It's an insult. It's an insult. So Hashem over here is saying, you know, we sinned against Hashem. Hashem says, you're so insignificant in my eyes. You go to my assistant. You go to my assistant. Okay, I wanted to buy something. I do whatever to. So I always deal with this person. So I call, so all of a sudden I can't talk to him. I have to talk to his assistant. The assistant always answers. So I say, you know, the only reason why I'm doing business with you is because I want to deal with you, because I like you, you're trustworthy, you're reliable, you're very quick, if you give me to your assistant, that's it, I'm out of here. I don't need you, I'll go somewhere else, I'll get a better price for merchandise. He got the message very quickly. So here it's hoisen, over here, it's an insult to us. It's part of a punishment that Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, I'm not going to go judge you myself. I'm going to give you over to my assistant, to them. The mishpatehem. Yeah, I mean, what?
Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Hashem says,
the malach, exactly. I'm not going to go, right. Hinei malach yelech lefonech. Exactly. So, enechonami. B'mishpatehem mishpat shaloi kosafti b'toyrasi. So here, as I mentioned before, that I'm going to give you over to them, I'm going to insult you. I mean, they're not going to exercise mishpat according to the Torah law. They're going to punish you according to their own laws. V'hu mimishpatehem nimusim, according to the mishpat of their nimusim, ve'ezeh. So here Rashi is writing Rashi like Kedarko. He's going into, coming to match up this to the events of Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu, he rebelled against the Nebuchadnezzar, and he was punished by being captured, being brought down to Bavel, and his eye, and being blinded. Where does it say in the Torah that if you swear falsely, you're punished by having your eyes poked out? There's no such halacha. Right. Is there such halacha in Shulchan Aruch that for violating your oath? So what's the punishment for violating an oath?
No, it's not.
Loisase, right? So there's no There's no losing your eyes. So that's exactly what it means over here. That Nebuchadnezzar punished him according to his own laws, laws that don't exist in the Torah. Let's see the Radak.
You're talking about what you made the connected me, the sort of, you're saying what you saw and you're being punished with your eyes.
Well, that's it, but his me, the connected me.
No, I understand, but a lot of the portion tell you a lot of
they
times.
Try
that's
to,
why, like, certain things you get throat, so to speak. You get
Askeros. The Talmid Rebbe, they died of Askeros.
So you use your voice.
Because they spoke bare things, Lashnar,
like
about
that.
Their friends. All right, but that's for Hashem. That's for Hashem, too.
But
here, for in Halacha, you don't have such a thing. Radak pasik chav dalid alvol alay chotzen. So here Radak says shame leechad mimini hamer kovah. It's a new interpretation. Just when you thought you got it all, now we have a sixth interpretation. It means one of the chariots. Maybe it was a plane, an airplane. It was a Humvee. It was a helicopter. It was an Apache helicopter. Who knows? Oh, lecha mikle hazayin, one type of weapon. The ainli chover b'mikra, you're not going to find a kulin b'mikra. V'yev shishu shem l'chlal kle hazayin. That's exactly what the mitzudos on his understanding of the targum. V'chein tikim yonason v'yeson aloch b'monei za ziyona b'rsichin. B'rsichin means chariots, the gilgalin and wheels. The adoni avizal perash kmo chotzen b'ches. Make believe the hay is really a ches. We can interchange the two. And then it means strength. They're going to come against you with power, shock and awe. The heviu of anach b'choitz in sheperusha zeroy v'hachayil yikari zeroy. An army is called the strength, your arm, kamo uzeroos. The arm, well, the arm.
Armed forces.
That's where it really comes from. Weapon armed is from the zeroya, the arm. Never knew that. Good. The obvious. Okay, very good. V'achayil yikore zeroya kimo uzeroos hanegev, the army, the power of the south. Sheperushoy chayalos, the army of the south. Tzina umogin v'koyva yosimu olaych tzadiv v'ketagumoy dim zaynin. They're going to be armed. They're going to be armed. Ba'agilin v'kol sin yimanoin aloch, different types of weapons. Okay, the tzina, the shields, and the helmets, they're going to come against you. The koiva, the kuf, milara, vinyona, yadua, shub, kli, mogin, ala, rosh. A koiva is a helmet. The nasati, lefne, mishpat, etein, a mishpat, lefne, sheyish, pituch, they will judge you. Kiloimar, tia, yadi, mohem, lahachar, rivecham, will allow them to do to you what they wish. Ushefatuch b'mishpitehem atohaft min hagam b'mishpitehem. This mida kineged mida, as Ramayevsky said. Why? You love them. You are enamored by their customs, by their society, by their system. Therefore, good. You want to go and exchange. You want to exchange the Torah for
you try
the
to
government.
Emulate them.
So good. So they'll judge you in their system. You'll see how much you like it. You'll see how corrupt it is. Therefore, they'll judge you by a jury of your peers. We explained before we came, we're holding, and it's not going to be good. And that's going to be the pun of the blind. Pasik Chaf Hei. And there's a beautiful Malbim. Pasik Chaf Hei. The Malbim says that when a woman commits adultery, she's punished doubly. She's punished according to the law, right? So the husband takes his wife to court, and he presents in court evidence that his wife committed adultery. So in the government, I mean, we don't hear about this today. We live, unfortunately, society has become so low, we don't hear about this, but it's a crime. If a woman commits adultery, it's a crime against the state. And the state punishes her. There are laws. I mean, I don't know what it says, but I don't know the laws on New York State and what the laws are in federal government.
They don't put women in jail for adultery.
What?
They don't put women or men.
Well, they used to. Not anymore. It could be, you know, it could be still on the books. No one comes to press charges. You never find the man coming to the man just files for divorce or whatever. But you don't, but I don't know. Go look up what the laws are in New York State, what the federal laws are.
At one time in New York, you could only divorce your wife for adultery.
Grounds.
Only for adultery. Nothing else. Even now, it's also hard to uncontested divorce. It's not so easy. Different states.
That's why Rockefeller went out of state to divorce his first wife.
What about an uncontested divorce? because we don't like each other. We had enough of each other. We just want to. We want to break. I think it's still very hard. It's not in every state can you get divorced. You have to have a reason. You just can't. You can't. Maybe now society has stooped. What? Yeah, but at least even going to Beis Hillel, even according to Beis Hillel, she did. She did an amulet. She burned. According to Beis Hillel, she burned his food. She's torturing him. A malnutrition. Malnutrition. So there's cause. But stop it. A couple walk in, they say, we want to go our own way. We like each other, we're friends, but we just had enough. Until recent times, you couldn't get divorced. The judge and the court will say, sorry, there's no such thing. You made a commitment to each other. That's right. And what that said, you can't get divorced. You're stuck. If you'll show that my wife tried to murder me, okay, that's a different story. Well, you'll have a cause. Today, the laws that what?
It was probably more true in the states with large Catholic population.
Everything changed.
I don't know about every state.
But if a woman committed adultery, so you go to court and the court punishes her. What do they put? They put her in jail for a year. They fine her. They make her do other community service. There's real punishment. That's one. Then there's another punishment. The husband. The husband's not buying his wife an anniversary present. The husband is not going to be nice to his wife. The husband will go and you do not nice to me. So you know what? The things I normally do for you, that's not on the laws. That's between me and you. So that's exactly what the Malbim says in this pasuk. He's coming to delineate two different types of punishment. There's going to be Hashem is saying between me and you, the love is lost. I'm going to go and punish you off the books. And because you did, you have betrayed me in front of the whole world, I'm taking you to court, Hashem says. Not the Jewish court, I'm taking you to the Goyish court, and they're going to punish you. They're going to punish you according to the law. Two, this is a very, very profound concept the Malam is telling us, is that when Klal Yisrael betrayed Hashem, Hashem punishes us in two different ways. There are laws, you're going to be punished. And then there is something privately between me and you, just like in ancient times there was such a concept. So a woman commits adultery, the state punishes her, and the husband also privately punishes her. So here we go to the private punishment. The private punishment is the Nasati Kin Asi Bach. Hashem's, I'm going to show my jealousy. You went and you were unfaithful. You went and you set your eyes on another man, on Avodah Zarah. I'm going to show I'm jealous. You're not going to be getting any bonuses from me. The asu oisach b'chema, and period. And then comes the asu, this is the Malbim. This comes now the state, the court system. They're going to punish you. What do they do to a woman who commits adultery? So in ancient times, they cut off her nose and her ears. Okay, the nose is the yoifi of a person. It's not for nothing that it's a $1 billion industry of having a nose job. Okay. Nose job. I always tell you that story about a bach. He went to the Rashid, he says, I mean, I'm involved in a shidduch. The girl is fantastic. But the only thing is, they told me that the girl had a nose job. So the Rashid says, what's the problem? The problem is the children. Even though she's beautiful, the DNA, the children, they can have these ugly noses. I don't want to marry her. So the Rosh Hashiva said to him, so what's the problem? So you'll do a nose job on the children. That's not a reason not to marry her. What's the problem? So here, the nose is the ikka yoifi, the asu oisach b'chema. What are they going to do? They're going to do it to you with anger, with fury. Apeich. The oznayich yasidu, they're going to cut off your nose and they're going to cut off your ears. Okay, they're going to make you look disgusting. This was the ultimate punishment that was done to an adulteress. Then it says v'acharitzech v'acharif tipol. Now I'll tell you what the mal the Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. I'll tell you what he says over here from I think it's from the Radak, I think, or maybe the Malbim. He says this means they're going to cut off the lower your garments. They're going to expose your buttocks. Okay, this is what they did to Azona. They cut off her nose, they cut off her ears, and they cut off her skirt from the back, not from the front. Well, that they did also, that sometimes also, it says that in the Pesukim before, but they cut off from the back, v'acharisech, the garments that are on behind, the upper parts of your leg, v'acharev, with a sword, tipol, will be cut off, and you'll have to walk home like this. And this is going to be the ultimate busha for a woman to be exposed like this because of your aveira. That's what they're going to do to you. Hema, they, Bonayich uvnosayich, they meaning the Babylonians. What else are they going to do to you? They're going to take your children as captives. They bonayich uvnosayich yikachu, they're going to take the acharisech teochel boesh, and your property. After they take you into exile and take away your children, acharisech in this context means whatever you leave behind, whatever you leave over, your property, your assets, the Beis Hamikdash or your assets, teochel boesh, will be burnt in fire. Okay, so a lot here is going on in this passage describing what's going to happen in the time of the Churban in Yecheskel's perspective. Every Navi has a unique perspective, and there's lots of almost repetition. Repetition is just overwhelming sometimes.
Where they saw
it. Pasuk Chafei in the Mitzudos, David. Pasuk says, "Minasati kinasi bach etein bach kasi v'yasu, I will go and I will set against you my anger, v'yasu imach mishpat, and they will do against you mishpat b'chema in anger. V'yasiru mimech apech v'yaznach, and they will go and they'll cut off your nose and your ears. K'derech mishpat hazonos b'chdei l'navla. That's what they did to adulteresses in ancient times in order to make them disgusting, to cut off their nose and their ears. V'yachar yiseich, soif ha-partsof. Now he learns, I told you from the Barbanel, but here the Mitzudas learn still means, v'yachar yiseich means soif ha-partsof is she'eriso tibol b'cherev. It means they'll cut your head off. The bottom of your parts of after they make you disgusting, they'll go and they'll kill. They'll first be nabble, they'll torture the person by cutting off their nose and their ears. And then they'll go and they'll cut off their head. Tipol bacher, the head will fall down with the sword. Decapitation, yikachu. They'll take your children bashevi in captivity. So the adults will be killed. The children will be taken as captives. The acharisech, and your property will be destroyed. Al habotim v'hasados yoimar hanishorim v'acharei mos ha'adam, they will be destroyed. Rashi pasukhafei says, zapech v'oznaichem tiferes ha-partsof, the beauty of man lies in his nose and ears. I never heard today someone go for an ear job. I mean, of course, it's reconstructive surgery, but you don't hear beauty queens going to have ear jobs.
Covered,
right?
By the hair.
What?
It's covered by the hair.
They do. You hear such things?
Yeah, but you don't hear about it.
You don't hear about it. Pun intended. Okay. You're right. It goes to show. If that's what they're always the caricatures are always showing his ears, it goes to show the ears are a very significant
feature
of your face. The tame tiferes haparts of lochem hanimshul hakuhuna. This is an incredible Rashi. This Rashi is unbelievable. Rashi throws out of here a drush, a machshava. I don't think you find this in Chazal anywhere. He says that these two words correspond to kuhuna and malchus. The nose is kuhuna. Yosimu kitora v'yapecha. Look at that in the pasuk in v'zayis habracha. Ulevi amar. But where does it say? So therefore, Sheva Levi. Levi is the Kohuna. Okay, Sheva Levi are the Kohanim. From Sheva Levi comes the Kohanim. Okay, he's broken into this. So therefore, and they're called Yosimu Ketura V'Yapecha. They put the Ketores in the af of Hashem, but being that they relate to Ketores, that's the Machus, to give Nachas Ruach to Hashem. Nachas Ruach is expressed in the Af. Vahipach Af of Nishmas Chaim, all these related, Maimor Chazal, and since the Kohanim, the holy ones, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, this is the Spitz, this defines the Machus of Kohanim, the Af. But here is what, so that's not such a major Chiddush, to say that the Kohanim are called the Af. They're called the nose. Yosimu kitorav yapecha zelum azeh. Hashem zaf keneged v'udin zaf. But this is fantastic. The hamalchus. The malchus, the kings, correspond to the ears. Because what is the Rashi telling us? To be a good king, you have to be a good listener. You got to listen to the people. You got
to
take polls. They say there was no bigger pollster than Clinton. Bill Clinton would poll people, secretly poll the country if he should go on vacation. And where he should go on vacation. Whatever the polls, because the ultimate politician, unfortunately, is a Churban, such a thing, obviously. If everything is on the polls, you'd have no mind of your own. But obviously there's a lot of depth in this Rashi, is telling us that Malchus relates to the ears. A king that is not receptive, is not open to hearing, understanding what the people want, are saying.
Rechavam
didn't live. Rechavam made that mistake. The people said they don't want to pay taxes. He had advice. He did listen. That was really Rechavam. Rechavam listened to the people who were complaining. The question was how to deal with it. Who's his advisors? But he did listen to the people. Okay, he did listen. Just made a bad decision. But a king that is locked up. Behind, is not out there in the street, in the ivory tower, and is not understand what the common man is going through, is not a melech. And this is the Malchus of Malchus. The Malchus of Malchus corresponds to the ears. Absolutely fascinating. Where are you going to find a Rashi like this? V'achari seich, sha'ar ha'am. Kehit Rashi translates, V'achari seich means the remnant of the people, they're going to be cut off with a sword. Sha'ar ha'am. And then the pasuk says, V'achari seich ba'ish te'achel ba'ish. V'sarach, not like the mitzudos that says that means your property. He learns. Ushafar means shein acharoyus.
Ushar means the best.
The best of the land. Shein acharoyus lishoein alehem liparnasa.
That's what you depend on.
For parnasa, maybe he does your property, your property, your fields. So maybe he does mean it because there's another gears. There's another gears over here. V'sarach teachel ba'ish. I have it in brackets. I don't know if you have that in your edition, but here Ushafar Arich Targa means the best of your land, which I guess means like the mitzudos. It means your assets are going to be destroyed by fire. Okay, I told you, don't forget the parish of the Barbanel, which says it means that the garments, your garments behind you, belong your legs, are going to be cut down. Okay, let's see the mitzudah. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasik Chaf Hey. I'm going to express my jealousy in you. Al yideyem etein kinasi v'chamasi. Through the Babylonians, I will pour out my anger. Vach v'yasu asach b'chema. Yasu imach nekama b'chema. Apech v'yaznayich yasu. They'll cut off your nose and your ears. Zeh hamishpat yasu oisol isha zoyna tachas ba'ala. In ancient times, this is what was done to an isha zoyna. That's already good. Look at the time of Yehuda. At the time of Yehuda, what they told, Hine zona kalaseich. That's kain. Hotsi'ua v'sisoreif. Burn her at the stake. Okay, that's the Shudashol Mikra. Well, she wasn't married. She wasn't married. So just because she's a penuya, she has to be burned. Shomeres Yavam. She's a Shomeres Yavam. But that's not the same thing. No. There's a Zika. There's a Zika, but it's not Yimam. But she was waiting for Yibam. And Yehud himself denied it to us. No, that's not Mamish.
Well, that's what Maima.
It's a Zika. It's a Zika. It's an Alav. Okay, but by the way, the Chizkuni, there's a very important Chizkuni. Hotzi'ua v'sisreif does not mean the Chizkuni to go and burn her at the stake. Brand her. Like an animal. On her forehead. You put on her forehead, Zoyna. Zoyna. So wherever she goes, tattoo. Today it's in style. Today it's in style, right? Right, to have tattoos. But they would brand the woman on her forehead, Zoyna. That's what he says it means. So you see that they have different customs, different systems, and different techniques in place how to deal with the Zoyna. But here we see them here that they would cut off her nose and her ears. The nostrils. The heim hadras ponim. This is the beauty of the face. The chay lemisha reitzim lishpoit the chayma yosir mimenu hanichirayim. The eyes also. That's the chiyok. He lost the eyes also. V'zemashol lemalchus ulkuhuna shehushu mehem. Like what Rashi says, apechu mashol lemelech. Now, see the Radak saying something different. You see, the Radak is different. Yeah.
Who would be doing this punishment?
The government.
Jewish
the court.
Parents?
No, that's
no,
exactly what it says. B'mishpatehem.
Oh, okay.
Their laws.
Yeah, okay.
They're the Goyish laws. And all this is a metaphor that Hashem is going to bring Korban to Klal Yisrael. But we're just giving metaphors of what was common in the ancient times. Now, I told you Rashi based upon the order of the Pesukim. Order is Kuhuna and Malchus. The Radak says just the opposite. The Radak says, V'zem Moshe l'malchus, he says that V'zem Moshe l'kun l'malchus shehusu mehem Apeichu Moshe l'melech. And he brings a pasuk in Shir HaShirim Apeich kimigdal halavanon. Your nose is like a tower Shumashul lemelech, that pasuk there refers to the melech. Yamelechu gavoa avaram al kol ha'am. V'cheino afhu gavoa al aponim. V'oznayim hu ha'koyhein. Ooh, just the opposite according to the Radak. It's not necessarily they disagree. I still maintain my opinion that Rashi was precise in order, and Rashi, and you have a pasuk to prove it. Pasuk is Yosimu ketor v'yapecha, and the concept of a melech listening is definitely intuitive, right? It's self understood, but the Radak. Radak. I don't come to the speck of dust of the toenails of the Radak.
That's what Rashi says on the pasuk. Otsi uvesi sorek. It brings down the Rav Meir that says she was Bas Koyin.
So Bas Koyin is Sreifa. Right. But a Bas Koyin has to have an Arusa. You have to be an Arusa. For Matan Torah, higher standards. Yeah. Okay. V'yoznayichu ha-koyin ha-mashmi'a kol l'yoznayim. He speaks. He's the speaker. He's the teacher. And the students listen to his words. Or when he walks with the me'il, the bells make sounds. When the koyin walks around, you hear him. Your teachers, your leaders, and your precious ones. Your leaders, honored men, yakir, yokor, yiglon will go into exile. The remainder of you will fall by sword, and your nation will die by the sword. If the pasuk begins by describing the ears and the nose and the ears, and that refers to the leaders. So when it says acharisech, that refers to the subordinate, that refers to the common man. The godl is the rishis, and then comes the remnant, recurs to the common man. They will take your children in exile. Yikhu oisam la avadim, the yishvu oisam al derech shenemar. Nasan bana pleitim uvenaisa bashvist. Your children will become refugees, and your daughters will go into captivity. Uperish pleitim michedev. They will escape from the sword. Ki baroy v'lo yahar ko'iv hakatanim hakatanos. El yishbe oisam legadlam imo lavodim v'lishvachos. Ancient times, you would not typically kill the children. You would take the children to be your slaves. Okay, next. V'acharisech teicha teachel bo'esh. Amar acharisech al habotim property. The best of Arich will burn. Pasik Chaf Vav. V'hiv shituch es bigodoyich. I will bear you naked. They will judge you. They will strip you. They will strip you. V'hiv shituch es bigodoyich, your clothing. V'laku klein, they will take klei sefarteich. Before we go, first, I want to tell you the word. V'hiv shituch is an amazing word. It's an amazing word. It means you have hefshet. What does hefshet mean? It means the strip ear.
Skin.
The skin. Mm-hmm. Literally means v'hiv shit es ho'ila.
Scalp you.
They'll take off the skin. Right. Here it says right. They're going to take your skin off your bodies. Maybe they'll take off your clothing.
To flay.
What we learn, we know that in the Torah there are four things. There is pardes, pshat, remesh, drush, soid. What is the most important? Pshat.
Right.
It's the only thing that's not at the Seder. Seder is, Sam is on the side, Seder is Sod, Drush, and Remes. Lel Seder, Lel Pesach, there is no Pshat. Okay, that's what there's a Pshat. But the most important thing is Pshat. Define for me the meaning of Pshat.
Okay,
what does it mean?
You're going for it. Stripped down to its simplest terms.
Rashi always says, Loi basi ela lefarish. I'm only here to give you the pshutai shel mikra, pshat. What is it? What is pshat? People wrote books.
The naked truth.
What does it mean, pshat?
The naked
So pshat is a very complex word. Pshat, and Rashi, more often than not, quotes Mamari Chazal. If you ask Yarab, pshat means translate the words literally. Rashi many times does not translate the words literally. Rashi gives us a Maimer Chazal, homiletic interpretations of the pasuk. That was one of the big chiddushim of Rashi that we mentioned many times. And before Rashi came along, there were different schools of thought. There were people that learned every single pasuk in the Torah literally. And they ran into a lot of trouble. And they had to really, really struggle to keep their head above water, to live a Jewish lifestyle, and translate every pasuk, and that's the way they live.
Even that Torah Shabbat Peh was not pshat.
Oh, that's the question. Before Rashi, there were people, there was a concept of being consistent. They learned the psukim and the Torah literally. And then there was a school of thought that says, no, every single pasuk in the Torah has to be understood homiletically. Has to be understood as a remes. Nothing, not everything even happened. And even what it says, listen, Iver lo siti michshol, doesn't mean putting a stumble, putting a rock. It means don't mislead people. Like, hulu, hulu. Rashi was novel, was an innovator. Rashi was the first of his kind to say, Eilu ve'elu divri elokim chayim. You cannot be consistent when you learn Chumash. There are some sukkim in the Chumash, you have to learn a derech drush. And some, and that is the pshat. The pshat is the drush. And there are some sukkim can only be understood, have to be understood literally. Rashi was the first one, he shook up the world.
Right. And our scroll is the last one.
He should have. We don't appreciate this because it's something that's so natural to us, because Rashi has been doing this for us for, 800 years? 900 years? I don't know the calculations, whatever it is.
900 years.
900 years. 900 years. So to us, it's no big deal. But before Rashi came along, people didn't, their minds were not wired to do this. You have to be consistent. If you read the pasuk,
that's why the Gemara would argue Yeshem Lemesoris or Yeshem Lemikra.
Look at it, there are different ideas like this. But we were not wired. You got to be consistent. Rashi was novel in that this is how you learn a pasuk in the Torah. You learn a parasha. This pasuk, the pshat is the drush. The pshat is the sod. The pshat is the remes. And sometimes the pshat is the pshat.
Right.
But what is pshat? What is pshat? So we translate it as the key. I go sometimes to a kollel around the corner. I'm shmimi. So there's a very big Talmud Chacham, Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, it's his koila. So I always say, I'm screaming this, pshat, what is the malchus of pshat? The hifshit es ha'oila. In this pasuk lies the malchus of pshat. You have an animal, so you see what you get, right? That's the animal. That's not what you get. The hifshit, you take the skin off. You gotta take
see
off underneath. You got, that's pshat. Pshat is exactly not. Pshat is not what's on the surface. I read the words, I translate the words of the pasuk. Pshat is take off the skin, flay it, take off the skin. Let's see the meat. Let's see the bones. Let's see the sinews. Let's see the blood vessels. Let's see what's going on under the hood. That's the pshat. That's the mahos. Understand the inner workings. Anatomy. Anatomy 101. That's pshat. That's how does the body work? How does all the things come together? That's the pshat, not just what you see on the outside. That's nothing. That's not drush. That's not remez. That's not so. That's zero. Pshat is, let's skin it, get our hands dirty, and see the way this thing works. So I just reminded of that because here we have this word v'hif shituch es bigodoyich. Part of the punishment is they're going to strip us bare. The lakhu kilei sifartech and take your beautiful utensils refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Let's see the short pasuk in the Mitzvah Zavid. Pasuk of Hivshituch kederech shoisin la zoyna lahamida aruma lehachlima. They would expose the zoyna. We mentioned this would come to the saita. They did the same to the saita. They also exposed the saita almost naked. They ripped her chest. They ripped off her shirt in the Beis Hamikdash. We mentioned this, that the kohanim, were young kohanim, were dismissed. Were dismissed. It's rated R. You're not allowed to be here when
they
we do the process.
Zakenin.
What? This is done by the Zakenin. Okay, next. Pasuk, let's see in the Rashi, Pasuk Avav es Bigodoyach, Big Day Kuhuna. Drush. Rashi's saying they're going to take away, you no longer have the Big Day Kuhuna. It's interesting. The only uniforms in the Torah are Big Day Kuhuna. What do the Levim wear? Big mystery. What do the Levim wear? Well, they just stay, they came in their jeans, dungarees. Pajamas?
They have to carry the Kalamic.
What do they wear? Doesn't say anywhere
that's
what the Levi. Really?
What?
Levi's.
Excellent.
Very good.
Excellent.
What did the Levium wear? Is there any record? Josephus, did even Josephus talk about this? I'm not aware. Josephus, he was there. He saw the whole show. He saw it all. It's a pell. I don't think I ever recall hearing that Josephus describes. We hear about this. What the uniform?
What did they wear when they played in the orchestra?
Yeah. What did they wear? What did they wear when they did Shemirah? What did the Yisraelim wear when you came? When you were the Mamados? You have to come to the Mamados. So what did the Sanhedrin wear? Everyone just came. Whatever they wanted to wear. They were strangled. They came straight from Russia. They came straight from Russia. It's a big mystery. So we hear Rashi. Rashi is very powerful. Rashi over here, the Dush of Rashi is, if the puzzle tells, I'm going to take off your clothing. When the Torah talks about clothing, it's not just Stam talking about clothing, because Torah doesn't acknowledge clothing. Torah doesn't give us any rules. The only place the Torah gives us rules for clothing are the Kohanim. So when it says I'm going to take off your clothing, it has to mean the kahuna is bottle. The malcha, the kahuna, they're going to become. That's the deep meaning of Rashi. Rashi is saying they're a big day kahuni, because what other begotten do you have in the Torah? Other uniform. You just stand. We go into exile. They're going to go and they're going to make you naked. Okay, we know that. That's going to be part of the korban. There'll be a medrash. They stripped the Jews naked when they went into exile as to be mevazeleh. But if the pasuk is telling it to you, is telling you which much greater significance, something which has ramifications for the history of Klal Yisrael, and that is the kuna. Let's see the Radak and the Radak Matzachavav viv shituch es begodech v'lokachu es klis sevarteich efshar shezenem al big day kuna. It's not as insistent like Rashi. Just as efshar. Since when does the Radak say efshar? Radak all of a sudden is saying efshar. Okay, al klei beis hamigdash. That's the sefartech. Oy nemar al kal shalal here. The spoils bein beis hamigdash bein b'shar habatim. And other beautiful things that Klal Yisrael has. They're going to be taken away in gold. Okay, we're going to stop over here with pasuk chavayim.